I remember looking at schools that might need a quarterback because I wanted someone that was graduating. I wanted a pro style offense. I want to play, you know. So yeah. I was looking at who had a senior quarterback that was leaving and who ran a pro style offense. And really, there wasn't much but Wisconsin. So I remember watching the Rose Bowl, and I'm thinking Wisconsin seems to make sense. They always have great offense or line. They have this pro style offense. It just made sense for someone like me. Scott Tolzien was graduating, so I thought if I do need a transfer, the first school I'm going to reach out to is Wisconsin. I'm glad you're doing this podcast because I always thought, like, I don't know if it's quite worthy of a 30 for 30, but it's worthy of mini series or segment. I mean, there's a lot to it.
99.9 The Fan's Joe Giglio and Joe Ovius set the record straight and never failed. The Russell Wilson Story Podcast.
Brought to you by Copiers Plus. If you don't know how much printing expenses are costing your business, you're probably spending too much. Gain clarity with a free assessment from Copiers Plus. Book yours today at copiers-plus.com.
Here's a mind-bending exercise. What if Russell Wilson did come back to NC State for his final season? What would have happened to Mike Glennon? As you could tell from that clip, Wilson wasn't the only quarterback who had at least thought about transferring to Big Ten country and Wisconsin. How different would Mike Glennon's life be if he had switched with Wilson? Behind that offensive line, with a backfield of Monte Ball, James White, and Melvin Gordon, doesn't take a lot of guessing, but it's amazing to think about the alternative path of reality that would have happened if Tom O'Brien had made a different decision. After a 9-4 finish to the 2010 season with a bowl win on December 28th, O'Brien made up his mind that he was going with Glennon for 2 years instead of Wilson for one more. Wilson didn't know this, but in early January, Glennon did. Those preliminary plans about leaving NC State were put on hold. It would be a different quarterback landing in Madison by the middle of the summer. Here's Glennon to set the record straight about what his plans were after the 2010 season, if he ever went to O'Brien with the threat of leaving NC State, and how he found out about O'Brien's decision to make him the starter.
I was going to graduate in 3 years. So before Russell made the graduate transfer rule famous, I knew if I could graduate and then transfer and play immediately,
you'd have 2 years to right. play.
I never once threatened to transfer. I never once talked to Coach O'Brien, Coach Bible, anything about leaving. They knew I was graduating in 3 years, which was strategic. Like, I wasn't doing it to get a master's. Like, right. I was doing it so I could transfer
right.
if need be. I remember just like during that little break looking at schools that might need a quarterback because I wanted someone that was graduating. I wanted a pro style offense and I want to play, you know. So yeah. I was looking at who had a senior quarterback that was leaving and who ran a pro style offense. And really, there wasn't much but Wisconsin. So I remember watching the Rose Bowl, and I was like, Wisconsin seems to make sense. They always have great offense or line. They have this pro style offense. It just made sense for someone like me. Scott Tolzien was graduating, so I thought if I do need a transfer, the first school I'm going to reach out to is Wisconsin. So I was prepared to transfer, but in the back of my mind, I was, you know, just doing due diligence in case I had to. And then, because I still had another semester until I got, like, I had to go back to NC State for the spring to finish up graduating. And then that, like, first week back, I still remember, because as college football players, you get, like, 2 weeks a year to be a normal student. After the spring game until finals, which is, like, a week or two, because there's no spring football, there's no workouts. So that's always, like, a fun week to go out. And then there's like a week or two before winter workouts start in January, like where there's no workouts, nothing. So Rum Runners, I don't know if you remember Rum Runners. Rum Runners was a piano bar downtown, and Wednesday nights was like college night. And like, we never got to go. So of course, like, we're going to Rum Runners on Wednesday night. So we go to Rum Runners Wednesday night. I just turned 21, so I was allowed to drink, and we're having a good time. And then I went into the Murphy Center on Thursday morning just to do like to get a workout in. It wasn't like a team workout. It was just like, you know, coming if you want to get a workout in. And I remember I was working out and they were like, Coach O'Brien wants to see you. So I'm like a little hungover, you know, whatever. And I go up to his office, and that's basically when he tells me, like, I don't remember how he said it, but it was basically like, you're going to be the guy next year. Like, I'm not doing any more of this baseball thing with Russell. And that's when he kind of alluded to what you kind of hit on of, you know, he needs to be here full time. There's some throws he missed that I don't think would happen if he was here full time. And to me, I'm kind of like caught off guard by this because, you know, in the back of my head, I'm already thinking I may have to transfer if I want to play. And I also want to say this straight. I didn't want to transfer. I loved NC State. It pondered. I went back and forth. Maybe I stay and I just play one year.
The woman you married, you were with her. Right. Right.
I had my best friends, Jessica, my girlfriend, who's now my wife. I didn't want to leave. I had such faith in Coach Bible that I thought, well, maybe 1 year is enough for me to get to the NFL.
Sure.
But I think I need two. So I'm not saying I was going to transfer. I don't know what I would have done. It would have been a tough decision. Go to somewhere like Wisconsin and play 2 years or stay at NC State and only play one. So I don't know what I would have done. It would have been a very tough decision. So anyway, he kind of starts telling me all this that, you know, they're going with me. And I'm like, whoa, like I wasn't expecting all this, because that's when I could tell Russell wanted to come back, because I thought the ball was more in Russell's court. Like, I thought if...
In terms of the decision.
Right. If he wanted to be at NC State, like, he could do it. But I could sense the frustration, like I said, amongst teammates, amongst the coaches to a certain extent. Like, this isn't fair to everyone. Every year you're leaving and you're not fully committing to us. You're leaving it up in the air whether you'll be back. You know, like, I don't want to keep playing this game with you.
That's how Mike Glennon found out he would be NC State's starting quarterback in January 2011. But let's go back to June 2007 when Glennon, a four-star recruit out of Centerville, Virginia, committed to NC State. At 6'6 and 200 pounds, Glennon was a classic pocket passer. His older brother Sean had played at Virginia Tech, so he was a familiar name to ACC fans. And after years of NC State fans looking for the next Phillip Rivers, Glennon looked like he could be the answer. While Wilson was an afterthought to recruiting analysts, Glennon was the third-ranked pro-style quarterback in the class by Rivals.com, behind only Blaine Gabbert and Dane Crist, and one spot ahead of Andrew Luck. Almost immediately, O'Brien would compare Glennon to the protege he had left behind at Boston College. That was Matt Ryan. He led the Eagles to the Atlantic Division title in 2007, before the Atlanta Falcons took him with the third overall pick in the 2008 NFL draft. Glennon actually made his college choice in part on what he thought was on the depth chart in front of him.
So my final three schools were Michigan, Virginia, and NC State. Michigan had a kid named Ryan Mallett, who was this five-star, you know, big arm guy. Virginia had a commit from a guy named Peter Lawlick, who is from my area in Virginia. He was like a four-star high recruited. At NC State had this kid named Russell Wilson, two-star. Only his offers were like Duke and like he wasn't highly recruited, was this baseball player. And, you know, as a recruit, as a quarterback, you have to take an account for those things.
Yeah.
And although I wanted to go to NC State because I thought it gave me the best chance, that also played a role that I thought this was going to be. I wanted a red shirt and then I wanted to play 4 years. Mm-hmm. So I think Daniel Evans is coming back. I thought he'll be a red shirt while Daniel Evans plays and then I'll have 4 years to play, which is perfect. And they told me, hey, we had this Russell Wilson kid. He was committed to the old staff. He's a baseball player. He's a great athlete, but we're not sure we're going to honor his commitment. But, you know, we think you can redshirt a year and then you'll be the guy.
We all have a type when it comes to affairs of the heart. College coaches are no different when it comes to recruiting. Tom O'Brien and his longtime offensive coordinator, Dana Bible, they had a type. And at Boston College, they had worked with the Hasselbeck brothers, Brian St. Pierre, and Matt Ryan. All of them were NFL quarterbacks. When O'Brien left BC in 2006, a 10-win team that would go on to win the Atlantic Division the next 2 years, he didn't suddenly develop a new taste in quarterbacks. That's why one of the first things he did when he got to Raleigh was recruit Mike Glennon. Glennon and Wilson were about as different as two people could be who played the same position. Defensive coordinator Mike Archer, who had worked with O'Brien at Virginia and NC State, recognized the familiar appeal of Glennon to his old boss.
I'll say this about Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon's a talented quarterback. I mean, I love him like my own kids. I mean, that he's the same type of person. But Russell had the ability, Joe, in my opinion, that he could extend plays where Mike couldn't. And I think anybody who watched him both play could see that.
You know Tom and Dana Bible well, more so than most people. Do you think they had an idea of what a quarterback is? And we can use Matt Ryan as an example of that. And do you think they looked at Mike Glennon and said, I feel like he fits the idea of what a quarterback is?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. Both Dana and Tom, you know, they worked with Matt. They were involved in recruiting Matt. You watch what Matt did at BC and what he's done in the NFL. They know what quarterbacks are. I mean, I don't think there's any question. And, you know, they had a tough decision to make choosing between Mike Glennon and Russell Wilson. I remember watching practice. We'd watch practice tape. Boy, it was close, you know, because Michael could sit in the pocket at 6'6" and throw the football. And, I mean, he could throw it into very small windows. Russell didn't have that because he was short. Russell had to move around in the pocket. So they were two different quarterbacks. And inevitably, I think they had to make the decision that was best for that football team that year.
Glennon had no idea about the competition he was about to walk into with Wilson, who had redshirted the 2007 football season, but he did know what to expect from Tom O'Brien.
So when I first got in the NFL, I had Greg Schiano, who I remember when I got to the NFL, they're like, this guy runs this place like college, like it is like a dictator type mindset, like this is exactly how it's going to be done. And to me, I'm like, this guy just seems like a more friendly version of Coach O'Brien, like a more outgoing version. So to me, it was no big deal. Now that I've been in the NFL longer, I can see why. But yeah, I mean, Coach O'Brien he ran the program. It was just exactly like how he said it was going to be done. You know, it was
Regimented.
Yeah, regimented is probably the right word. I mean, he would just sit up in the tower and kind of watch practice and let his assistants coach. He was not a micromanager. From what I've heard from coaches, they loved working for him because of that. It was he let them go do it. I mean, he has a Navy background and he ran it. There was a chain of command, but there was also the respect and that I'm going to tell you to do your job and you're going to do it. I don't have to look over everything you do. This is how I want it done, and this is the way, you know, and the coaches did that, and the players followed. I mean, we knew who he was and what he expected of us, and that's just how the program was run.
Wilson beat out Glennon and three other quarterbacks for the starting job in 2008. Glennon redshirted. He got to know more about Wilson and his professional goals, though, that first season together.
I think he thought his future was in baseball. But he thought he was going to be Bo Jackson. He thought he could do both. And I remember, because we were roommates for all of the games, like in the hotel. So home and away, we were roommates together. So that's when we kind of would talk about different things. And I remember him saying, like, he could do both. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, how is that even possible? Like, you know, you can't miss football practice in the NFL to go play baseball. Like, the seasons overlap. Like, it's not like these are two different seasons, but I'm like, he's a determined dude. Maybe, you know, maybe, who knows? I thought it was a little delusional, but, you know, he seemed focused that he could be an NFL quarterback and a Major League Baseball player.
Wilson was the All-ACC quarterback in 2008 as a redshirt freshman and was the starter again for the 2009 season. Glennon was given a brief chance in the 09 opener, a 7-3 home loss to South Carolina, to get his first taste of college action.
But I remember thinking, okay, this is going to be a little bit of an uphill battle. Like this Russell, he just was first team all ACC. I don't see how they're going to not play him. But I think they told me, like, Russell's kind of the guy, but, like, you know, we're not just handing him the job. Like, this is a competition. And I think I'm not saying they weren't telling the truth. I think it somewhat was. Like, I needed a year to kind of get ready. It would be an uphill battle to beat him out. But I thought, you know, I could I'll improve, and we'll kind of see where it's at. So that opening game come, we played South Carolina again. It was opening game of college football, ESPN at Carter-Finley. Russell was going to start, but they were going to give me like a series or two in the first half, which they did. And we didn't move the ball. I think they only gave me one series. I think I played three plays. I want to say 1 for 2. And we didn't move the ball with me. I think I kind of forced the ball. We ran like a all goes special, which is just four verts, and I kind of forced a seam, just ripped it. You know, I was like, you know, first game action, just I don't even know what I was looking at, just fire the thing.
1 for 2, no yards somehow.
The second pass, I can't remember which one was first, was a little fullback. It was actually John Gruden, Spider 2, Y Banana, threw it to Taylor Gentry in the flat. And then they put Russell back in, but we didn't move the ball really at all.
That was like a 7-3 loss.
Yeah, yeah.
Notable for a drop touchdown pass by somebody.
It was Jay Smith. And then...
Wait, that wasn't really the name of the call, was it?
Why? We called it...
What'd you call it?
We called it Dart 82 Banana. It was Banana, but we called it Spider 2.
After a 3-1 start, the 09 season got away from NC State. There were a lot of injuries. Offensive coordinator Dana Bible was diagnosed with leukemia. NC State was 1-5 in the ACC, headed to a road game at Virginia Tech in late November. Glennon had been looking forward to that trip to play against his brother's old team. But his season would end with an injury in mop-up time of a 38-10 loss.
It was Friday. We had a walkthrough, and Coach Bible didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, he had to go to the hospital. Like, and I don't know if they knew at the time. And then we went and played Virginia Tech, and we got smoked.
38-10 was the final.
Yeah. And so that was like, so my brother went there. I was all excited. They put me in at the end of the game, and I hadn't taken many hits, and I got hit and landed on my collarbone. I'm like, man, that hurt. And I was like, gosh, I guess this is just what college football feels like. I threw one more pass, and it was an out route, and it was like almost caught. I remember it was getting reviewed, and I'm like, please don't overturn this. Like, I don't want to go back in. I can barely, like, my arm is killing me. And then I tried to take off my shoulder pads in the locker room. I couldn't. I had a broken collarbone.
Glennon's 09 season was over. The teams would end the next week on a high note, when Wilson led the Wolfpack to a 28-27 comeback win over a stacked North Carolina team. 2 years were in the books now together for Glennon and Wilson. Glennon said the two had an amicable relationship.
Me and Russ got along fine because I think we both had similar mindsets. Like, we were very driven to be successful, focused, just business-oriented. So it was never – there was no animosity. We didn't hang out, like – in the dorm, like, we didn't hang out together. But when it was football and the meetings, like, I was there for him. He was there for me. There wasn't any...
It wasn't frosty at all.
No. Like, he wasn't trying to hide... Like, if I asked him a question, he would answer. It wasn't like he was trying to hide something from me because I was competition or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I was obviously younger than him, so I didn't have much to offer him other than support and kind of the backup role that I've now come used to. You know, probably started then with him. So, I had his back. He had mine. There was no... No issues.
He never looked at you as you were the highly rated recruit. You were everything he wasn't coming out of high school.
No, I don't think so. I mean, he's a confident guy.
Yeah.
So, no, there was no signs of jealousy, envy, threat. Like, I don't think he saw me as a threat in the term of, like, an enemy. Like, there wasn't any of that.
Even though you were, how would you describe the rest of the people? That class you came in with was pretty good, was highly rated. A lot of those players would go on to kind of become the bones of that team.
Yeah.
You were probably closer with those players than he was, is what I'm getting at.
Right, which for me was a little tough because it was like all my friends, my class, were out there.
Playing. Mm-hmm.
And I was like the highly the crown jewel of the class, and I wasn't. So that was a little difficult for me. Not that they took sides at all. I mean, they were doing a job.
Sure.
To protect, like the offensive lineman to protect him. And, there was no, they were sabotaging me or anything like that. But it was just me being a little jealous of, wanting to be out there, the competitor.
Continuing on that point, though, do you think you were more popular with your teammates than Russell was?
I don't know about on the football field. I would say to hang out with. Russell kept to himself.
He had his girlfriend at the time.
He had his girlfriend who was at Georgia and transferred to NC State. So, again, this is no knock on Russell. Russell was extremely focused. He had football. He had baseball.
He had a lot going on.
Long-term girlfriend.
Not that you weren't a good student, but he was also very focused as a student.
Right. And I was no party animal by any means, but I enjoyed going out having a good time with
And you were friends. Also recruited with those guys. Right. I think that's a distinction to make.
Right. So these are guys that came in. These are my roommates.
Right? Yeah.
These are guys we go out with on Friday and Saturday nights where Russell's not a drinker. He's not a partier. So he just kind of stayed in, which that's not how you win over your teammates, is by partying. But there is a element of being relative and familiar, like, you know, just being boys, you know, mm-hmm. like, I think it's just natural.
His was more of like, I'm here to play football. I'm here to play baseball now.
Right.
You know.
And I'm here to play football, but I'm also here to have a good time. I mean, yeah, sure. This is best 4 or 5 years of your life. I'm going to, you know, be focused on football, mm-hmm. but I'm also going to kind of go out and have a good time, you know, when it presents itself. So I would say just from a social standpoint, I think I was probably more liked. But, you know, on the field, people want results, you know. Yeah, people want the competitive, you know, they want to win. So I don't know. You'd have to ask other people.
Sure.
People that.
After a 5-win season in 2009, there was no bowl game for NC State, not even a trip to the Pizza Bowl. There were only winter workouts awaiting, at least for everyone but the starting quarterback.
Russell Wilson's decision not to play spring football this year and focus on baseball was an easy one.
That's been the plan, and I'm graduating early and everything, and just want to give myself the best chance in every way possible in football and baseball.
Wilson is eligible for this June's Major League Baseball draft.
He's graduated, and he's thinking about his future, and even though he may come back as State's quarterback next year, and I hope he does, he still may sign professionally.
Wilson's baseball numbers dropped last season after he suffered that knee injury in the PapaJohns.com Bowl. So this year, Wilson is trying to improve his baseball resume. He's competing for the Wolfpack's everyday shortstop position. And
Wilson will do something on the baseball diamond he hasn't done since high school. Let's take the pitcher's mound. Wilson will come out of the bullpen. He's trying to become the Wolfpack's closer.
Ever since I got here, you know, I've always wanted to pitch. And my freshman year, we had a really good staff. And last year, you know, my knee and everything, I couldn't really get on the mound that much. I don't know. I just try to throw strikes. I don't try to overpower anybody necessarily. You know, I can throw the ball pretty well.
Nervous State football fans might wonder if they've seen Wilson throw his last pass for the Pack.
No, I don't think so. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, I'm just excited about playing the first game here and just excited about each and every day I wake up.
So batter up. Wilson is only focused on baseball for now. Jason Jennings, WRAL Sports, Raleigh.
Safety Brandon Bishop understood why Wilson wasn't at those grueling winter workouts, but Wilson's absence was also noted.
So if you don't go to a bowl game, you have a pretty long December. That was the only year where we went home, and it's for weeks. And you don't go home for weeks during the year if you don't live in the state. And so we had an extended break. But you come back in January, and the first thing is like an 8-week, pretty intensive winter conditioning program.
Which I'm guessing after a losing season was doubled down on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's intense. It's early in the morning. And Russell did not participate in that, nor spring practice, until the last year when he had been drafted and was waiting to go to big league or pro baseball spring training.
Sure.
And that's a time when you establish a lot of the camaraderie, a lot of the who's going to be the next year's leaders on the team. So
this would be January of 2010.
Yeah, you get done a class of seniors. You know, they don't graduate, but they're not showing up to the building every day with you anymore. And so you start looking around like, who are the next guys that are going to kind of step up and fill some of the shoes and be the vocal guys? And so those were always opportunities for new guys, but especially the quarterback position. And, you know, for consecutive years there, we'd roll from winter conditioning into spring football, and Mike's the guy. He's the only quarterback there that's a scholarship guy, really, that's in the mix. And so he's getting a lot of the attention. He's getting a lot of the experience being the guy that everyone's kind of looking to. And those are formative times for football teams.
Did you guys resent that Russ was not there? Or were you still in the understanding mode of if he's going to play baseball, whatever else he has with his dad, his health?
It was never resentment from any guys, to my knowledge. We knew he had a pretty good baseball thing going. At that point, it wasn't clear that Russell Wilson was going to be an NFL quarterback.
I think people lose that.
It was...
People have lost that in history, right? Since he's turned out to be so good in the NFL, like in 2010, when he's playing baseball, you're probably thinking, well, that's what he's going to do when he grows up, basically.
Exactly.
That would be his path.
that was,
even for his teammates, his football teammates,
that was the better bet. And so none of us were, you know, upset or felt like he shouldn't play baseball if that's going to be his future and he's obviously talented at it. Clemson had just had a quarterback that did that just prior. I think his name was Kyle Parker.
Yeah.
And he was a dang good quarterback, but he was a surefire baseball prospect. And so we understood. No one held it against him. And it helped that we knew when Russell was there, he was going to help us win games. And there was no doubt about that. So guys definitely didn't resent him for it.
Did it also help that Mike, maybe not Russell, but was still someone you could look at in going through not only the workout drills, but in practice you could see, well, this guy's pretty good too.
100%. It was kind of like Mike was the best insurance policy you could have because we knew he was a talent. We knew he was a big-time recruit, and we saw him in practice year-round. You know, we saw him in spring football. We saw him, you know, in spring games over the summer. We saw him throw the ball more year-round than we did Russ until it came time to lace it up for fall camp.
Not everyone on the team thought Wilson needed to be at off-season workouts or spring practice. Wayne Crawford, Wilson's former roommate and one of his best friends on the team, he knew how good Russell Wilson was. They all did. And he knew the work that Russell Wilson put in the offseason. He thought O'Brien was just using Wilson's absence as an excuse to make a choice he had wanted to make all along.
I knew that everybody was betting that he was going to play baseball. Like, everybody and their mom knew that he was going to play baseball and that was going to be his case. I didn't think that he was going to play baseball because, like, the passion he had around football was just so crazy. And I just never knew anybody like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, you kind of meet certain people that are on a different level with things and you just realize that level exists and you're like, holy crap. So I feel like the writing on the wall was, you know, like you said, O'Brien was a commitment guy. Dana Bible is he's a get reps guy. Dana Bible is a get repetition type of dude. He's like, the more reps you do, the better you're going to get. The harder you work, the luckier you're going to be. So, you know, that's the type of regime we were under. You know, I don't think anybody in coaching would bat an eye at those kind of stances. So when Mike was there during spring ball getting all those reps, and Russ is out doing whatever, you know, obviously playing baseball and being focused in his regard there. But, you know, it didn't bode well when, as soon as things go wrong, you know, the fingers start getting pointed at where we could have done better. And there was a huge target on Russ's back because he wasn't with us. And personally, I knew him from a personal level. So I'm like, you know what? From what I know, he doesn't need to be here for that. But on the other hand, you got Mike, who's sitting in the wings. And I think they wanted him to be the starter when he first got there as a redshirt freshman. And here it is, 3 years in, 2.5 years in, and he's still behind Russ. So I knew the writing was on the wall too, because I think, you know, everybody had a decision to make on the very last year. Mike had opportunities to do different things. I think Russ obviously had opportunities to do different things, but was still very keen on football. I don't know anybody that had like I'll call it a jovial relationship with the guy. I think Russ's relationship was a little strained for sure when things didn't go well and he had an easy scapegoat to say that he wasn't here. I think that was an easy play.
During the 2010 baseball season, Wilson's draft eligible year, he had his best year at NC State. He hit .306 in 47 games. The Colorado Rockies took Wilson in the fourth round of the Major League Baseball draft that June. He spent the summer with the Tri-City Dust Devils in Washington State before he returned to Raleigh for the start of football practice. After missing the winter workouts and spring practice, and then the summer workouts, there were some grumblings about what the team had to go through after a losing season and what Wilson didn't.
Then I remember that summer, we're going through these like grueling, you know, summer workouts. And I remember there were some guys, that's when I started hearing rumblings talking about, like, pretty much, this is bullshit. Why isn't Russell here? We're waking up early, running in the heat. You know, why isn't he here with us? He was doing our workouts. He just wasn't doing it with the team. To, like, the other player, like, it was kind of, I think it bothered me some because I was, you know, obviously wanted to play. But at the same time, it was kind of like, I'm sure he is doing the workouts, but there's however many guys are on the team, 120. There's 119 guys doing this, and there's one guy that's not, and that's our starting quarterback.
You would have struggled to sketch a more disparate pair on the surface than Russell Wilson and Mike Glennon. It was like a rejected Eddie Murphy buddy cop movie. Glennon, the classic pocket passer, 6'6", 4 stars, nationally ranked. Wilson, the 5'10 scrambler, 2 stars, nationally unknown. As Brandon Bishop remembers, their physical attributes weren't their only differences.
I met Mike on that recruiting trip as a high schooler. Yeah, Mike was a year older than me, but he redshirted, so we essentially became the same. He became a classmate.
Did you like him right away, or did you think he was goofy with his stupid neck and his red hair? Or
no, Mike was, yeah, Mike was a guy that we would hang out with. He was around, you know, there was a group of guys, a bunch of offensive linemen, and ended up becoming friends with Mike early on. Just a guy that you end up spending a lot of time with, you know, kind of outside of the building.
Did you spend any time with Russ outside of the building?
Yeah, that was the main difference. Russ was a special talent, an awesome dude, a great teammate in the building. We just didn't really hang out with him once we were outside the building.
Not just you, but
I'd say most guys would have that take. He was close with Wayne Crawford, who is a buddy of mine and was an offensive lineman for us, but there weren't a ton of guys that were hanging out with Russ once we were done at the Murphy Center. And so that was, as we kind of got older, spent, you know, a couple years on campus, that became the main thing is, you know, Mike's one of the guys and he's our guy. You know, we'll hang out with him on the weekend. You know, we're doing stuff outside of football together. And I think most guys around the building felt that way.
Was that because Russ was super hyper-focused on Russ, super hyper-focused on football and baseball, maybe Ashton, his girlfriend at the time?
Russ had stuff going on. So there was baseball that we all knew about. We knew he had a real serious girlfriend that, you know, went back with him to high school days that was, and, you know, obviously Russ's dad was going through health stuff that I think at the time we weren't all super aware of. But yeah, Russ had some stuff outside of football that took up more of his time. Whereas, you know, we're at the College Inn all living together, basically all the scholarship guys. And so, you know, we're hanging out playing Xbox and PlayStation in the same room with, you know, Mike and a lot of those guys that lived there. Russ didn't live there. One of the only scholarship guys really that didn't live there.
So it's not like people disliked Russ.
Not at all.
It's just he had other things he was doing. In particular with his dad, that's our very real world 100% issue.
Yeah, 100%. And I don't think anybody really knew, like, he was going back to Virginia as often as I think it's, you know, he's now said that he was, especially kind of later on. So, yeah, everyone liked Russ a lot. And we knew how special he was. But he wasn't like our homie outside of the walls of the football program and the lines of the field.
Now let's fast forward through the 2010 football season. Let's go back to the point in the story where Mike Glennon goes to Rum Runners and comes back and figures out it's going to be his job.
You know, if Russell comes back, you know, that's fine. But, you know, Michael Glennon's going to be the quarterback. I don't see any way it's not going to play that way if we're going to have a chance to be a good football team next year.
If Russell comes back, mm-hmm. What's the procedure then?
Well, he'll be the backup. I mean, you know, he can sit there and fight for the job, but I don't see any way forward in it. And I'm not wasting any time thinking about him coming back. I mean, you know, I can't do that. You know, we're going to go ahead and get Michael Glennon ready to play, and he will be the starting quarterback against whoever we open up with next year.
Tom O'Brien told Mike Glennon that in early January. He hadn't told Russell Wilson yet. And for the first time, Wilson participated in the winter workouts with his NC State football teammates.
That January was the first time Russell ever went through winter conditioning with us. And that's what makes that last year so interesting, is we had never been closer to Russ because he spent those 9 weeks lifting and running and training with us that he had not spent before. He was my lifting partner that year that we came back after the champs game. So having him around, I felt closer than ever, more connected, more conversations, more locker room stuff. Like, it was, he was completely there, more so than he'd ever been. And then, boom, he was gone. It was a funny juxtaposition because right before he was gone forever, he was more present than he had ever been with his teammates.
Now, here's the tricky part of this story between Russell Wilson and Tom O'Brien. In 2011, after Wilson had gone through the winter workouts, did Tom ever specifically give Wilson an ultimatum before he left for spring training with the Rockies? I.e., in plain English, did O'Brien ever specifically say to Wilson, if you leave, you won't be able to come back this time? There are people who I know who are close to Wilson who have told me that was absolutely not the case. There are others on the team who figured it was at least strongly implied.
I think the line in the sand was known, and Russ made the decision knowing what coach had laid out for him. Again, I wasn't in that meeting, but I don't think there was any guessing.
That he told him after the 2010 season, look, you either commit, go through this, or I have to move on.
Yeah, this was not a game of telephone where Russ was guessing what Coach O'Brien was going to do next year. I'm very confident that was communicated pretty clearly, pretty early.
One thing was for sure in the uncertainty of that April. When Wilson was playing with the Asheville Tourists, he made a call to Mike Glennon to figure out what was going on back in Raleigh. Glennon told him what he knew. And in Episode 5, we'll get to the moment where Russell Wilson finds out his career at NC State is over.
Like, at this point, I think Russell was like, I don't think he completely believed O'Brien. Like, I think he's like calling his bluff. So when O'Brien told me I was the guy, was in January. And sometime between January and May, I guess it was, because it was spring ball, Russell called me and was like, I don't know, this is probably wrong of me to say, if he said fools, but it was something along the lines of, what are these fools telling you? Or what are these guys? It might not have been fools, but it was like in that tone. Like, I was like, they're telling me I'm going to be the guy. Like, even if you come back, like, I'm going to be the guy. And I could tell he was hot because he was playing baseball during this, so he wasn't around. And that's all I remember from the conversation. It wasn't real.
It was a long conversation.
It wasn't long. And then I remember the spring game came, and I played. And after the game, it was probably you. I don't remember who. Someone kind of asked me, do you think if Russell comes back? Like, I don't remember what the question was. And I kind of answered it in a way of like this is kind of crazy to me too. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if he'll be like, if it'll actually be a competition or not, but they're telling me it's not. And I kind of gave off this impression like I wasn't 100% believing O'Brien either. Like, and I remember he was hot. So he called me in the next
Tom
day.
Tom was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He called me in the next day and was like, and I think Bible did too, was like, when I give you my word, I mean it. It's like, this is the fucking word. Like,
right.
I gave you my word and you don't believe me. Like, basically, like, I've done this for you and you don't even believe me. And I was kind of like caught up, you know, again, like, whoa. But then at the same time, I was like, okay, like, this is what it's going to be. Like,
yeah.
There's no coming back from this. Like, he is firm.